Good morning, church family. It was a little crisp this morning, wasn't it? I love how we move from summer right into winter. And apparently we've got a little bit more weather coming tonight. And that's as long as the lights stay on, I'm okay with it. There's some announcements in your bulletin. I'm not going to go through them all, but there's a couple I wanted to bring your attention to. One is there's a special meeting tomorrow evening here in the church. Is it Monday? I'm sorry, I wrote down the wrong day. Monday. That's right. Monday, November 7th at 6:30 here. It's a question and answer period. In this day and age, every church has to deal with the issue of protecting our children, and we needed as a church and as a denomination to develop a method of dealing with these issues to keep our children safe. The board has been talking about it for a little bit now, and Dennis Seaton, who is the human resources director at the conference, is going to be here to do some question and answer, get some feedback, and help us along with the process also as the conference deals with this issue on a more global scale. So that's Monday at 6:30. Eric and Olivia are having their baby shower next Sunday at 10. So look at the bulletin for the details on that. That's a very special occasion and event. Women's retreat is coming up. See the details in the bulletin for that as well. And also, there's a special thank you for all of those that helped in the community service yard sale, which was just a tremendous success as a result of a lot of hard work. There is a prayer request. Dr. Heather Knight, who is the president at Pacific Union College or University, fell and sustained some significant injuries and required some surgery, and so she is convalescing and could use our prayers as she recovers. Tom, you had an announcement you wanted to make?
The plan was for our church board and board of elders and worship committee to go to Awona this evening and spend some time, but we're pulling the plug on that because we might not get back tomorrow. So some of us don't do snow very well. So what we're going to do, for those that are on those committees, we're going to meet together this evening around 4:30, and have some time together just to talk about, with Pastor Steve, about direction for our church in the future. And then we're going to have some dinner together and spend some time together this evening instead of going up to Wawona, just to play it safe. Some people would need to come back early, and there's a little question about whether the weather would cooperate with that. And I also have a special prayer request that I'd like to throw out to our community. There's a lady in Mariposa. Her name is Joyce Kennard, and she works at Yosemite Bank. When I first came to Mariposa 25 years ago, we went into the bank, and she signed us up for our bank accounts, for my business, and for our kids and everything. Well, her husband was killed in a head-on car, motorcycle accident right in Mid Pines last Tuesday. So I would just ask that you would remember her and her family, because it's just, I mean, 1 year, she was going to retire at the end of this year, and just to have her life just totally crazied out by that, she really needs our prayer. And also Diane Anzai, also Heinz and Maria's daughter, prayer for her with her chemotherapy. Thank you very much.
As we begin our worship time together, shall we bow our heads? Father in heaven, we're grateful for an active church. We're grateful for the opportunity to serve you in many different capacities, in many different ways, individually and collectively. Father, as our worship service progresses today, we pray that we would just set aside our cares of the world and focus on you, focus on your love, and focus on our church family. May our hearts be opened and receptive. Be with everyone who participates in the service today, from music to stories to giving to Pastor Steve's words. May they just flow from you, and may our hearts be receptive. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a special time where we get to give back a portion of what the Lord has provided for us. And I actually forgot to look in the bulletin to see what the offering is for today. It's for local church budget. And we all know that there are lots of things locally that we support. And we're grateful for to have the opportunity to do that now. Would the deacons please rise? Our Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to give back to you. Sometimes in our heart we may have a little bit of trouble, but we know, Lord, that everything we give is multiplied to your end. And so, Father, we do give joyously now, and we ask that you bless this offering to your work, that it would hasten your soon coming. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, kids, it's your time in the service. We have a special children's story by Miss Helga, so why don't you come on up and let's have a story.
I'm going to hide from the adults. I'm going to tell you a story that happened a little while ago when I was about 5 years old. Did you know that I wasn't born here. I was born in Germany. That's a long ways away. Anyway, there had been a big war, and we were in a train, and the train stopped, and there was all little children, bigger children, and mothers, and no fathers. Maybe old grandpas, but no fathers, because they had all gone to war, and they hadn't come home yet. And so the train stopped in this big city, and they said, "This is as far as we go. You have to get off." So we all got off, and the city people didn't know what to do with us. So they put us in a big university, classrooms, and they put all the different families in different classrooms. And we had to share, of course. Lots of mothers with their children were in the classroom, and we were on the fourth floor. So every noon, they gave us some soup. Do you guys like soup? Well, you know what this soup was like? It had just little turnip pieces floating in water. After you ate the bowl of soup, you were still hungry. So I had a sister a year younger, and she and I said to my mother after a few days, "We're really hungry. Our tummy hurts. Can you give us something to eat, please?" And she said, "I have nothing, but Jesus promised in the Bible that he would give us bread and waters. So we need to pray, and don't worry, you won't die of starvation." But we were worried because every morning we'd look out of the window and a truck would come and stop in front of a window, and if somebody had died that night, they'd just throw them out the window, even from the fourth floor, and they'd just drive them away. So we were little, and we thought, "Ooh, maybe it'll be us." We were getting skinnier. And so then, the next morning, guess what we did? We looked under all the blankets and everywhere we could think of. Do you know what we looked for? The bread that Jesus promised. And my mother looked at us, and she said, "That's not how Jesus answers prayers. He doesn't use magic, he uses people. And we have to do all we can." So she said, "We're going to go your older brothers and sister and myself, we're going to go begging." And so they did. They went begging. And they went from house to house and knocked on doors. And most of the people said, "We don't have any extra food. Sorry." So then they went out in the country, farmers. And they said, "Do you have any extra food?" And the farmers would say, sometimes they'd give a few vegetables. Sometimes they would say, "Go out in the field. We just harvested potatoes, and there might be some left. Go dig, look for them." So my mother and my sister and brothers would do that, and sometimes they'd come back with a few vegetables, and then they'd cook them over open fire. But it was never enough. We were still hungry. And so one day my mother was out in the city and she got lost. And she saw this lady coming on the sidewalk and she stopped her and she said, "Do you know where the university is?" And the lady said, "Yes, I do." She gave her the direction and then the lady said, are you staying there?" And my mother said, "Yes." And she's, "Oh, I heard people are dying of starvation there. Is that true?" My mom said, "Yes." And she says, "Do you have children?" And mother said, "Five." She says, "Five? How old are they?" And she says, 14, 13, 10, 5, 4. The lady said, "Oh my goodness, you better send the two oldest ones to my house on Wednesday, and I'm going to get some food ready." And Wednesday came, and my oldest brother and sister went to the lady's house, and they came back, and they had some food, and we were so happy. And we thanked God, and oh, the food was so good. Today, if I gave you that food, you probably wouldn't even eat it. But for us, it was like pudding. We thought it was so good. And we thanked God, and that's why I'm telling you the story right now. Why do you think? What do I want you to learn? To pray and also to realize that God uses people to answer prayer. He could use you. And you, maybe today he will, even today. Because you're going to go now and take up the offering. And guess what the offering is for? It's for children that need to go to school and don't have enough money. So that's how God answers prayer. But all of us, if we're willing, he will use us. Thank you.
Where possible, shall we all kneel for prayer?
Good morning, Heavenly Father. It is a pleasure and a privilege to meet with you this morning. We're thankful that you are here. We know that you are here because you have promised to be with your children. Not only you are here, but your holy angels are with us today, and we appreciate that. And thank you for that. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have to meet with you today. We don't understand how you can be here with us today and be with all the believers all over the world, but you have said that is so, and we believe you. So, Heavenly Father, thank you again for your many kindnesses and mercies to us. We pray that you will guide and direct in all the activities of our service today. Be with the pastor, break his the words that he speak will be from on high. We pray this morning for those that are unable to be with us today. We pray that you will be with Gene Carpenter, who is recovering from a broken hip last Friday. Be also with Diane Anzai, as she's still having some chemotherapy, but improving. Be with the other six and our people. Be with a friend of Tom Wiggs at the Yosemite Bank. Guide them and direct them. We're thankful that we can be an influence to the people in the community. We pray that you will use us more abundantly as we witness to you throughout the best efforts that we can. We thank you for the accomplishments that the community services has done in meeting the people, having all the people from the community get acquainted with this location and all the good things that can come from it. Guide us now in all the rest of the things on this Sabbath. Guide us and direct us in all of our plans today. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's good to be in church today, and it's especially good for me to be here this morning and be able to be here, planning to be here a long time yet. If you didn't know, Delinda and I 2 weeks ago had flown back to Arizona to look at an opportunity there. Arizona Conference had extended a call, and there were a lot of really, really exciting things about that opportunity. But Delinda and I really do want to be where God wants us to be in ministry. And in ministry, it's not as simple as a career choice. It's doing our due diligence to be in the center of God's will and seek his confirmation in our lives. And so it was quite a process for the last couple of weeks for us. And so just sitting here this morning and knowing that you're going to be my family for a while still is really a blessing to me. So, you know, I told you when I came that an old pastor had said to me that at one point I will make everyone in the church happy. Some will be happy when I arrive, and some will be happy when I leave. So those of you who will be happy when I leave, too bad for you. by the way, I'm just really excited about the future here because I believe God has big things in store for us as a church. I really don't think God would have this church painted and remodeled and roof and air conditioners for nothing. He intends us to reach people that we've not yet met, and that's really a big deal for me and why we're committed to being here in the long term. By the way, speaking of paint, this will be the last communion service you're able to have on green carpet in this church. So savor the moment. because a little bit of the chaos and the remodel, we will not have a room for families, so we're going to be dividing into men and women. As you go down the hall, you'll see two signs for the men, and then here in the community services room is where the women will be, and it's a special time for us. Would you bow your heads one more time with me? Lord Jesus, this is a time where we remember your sacrifice on Calvary. We say thank you. And we as Seventh-day Adventists practice open communion. Jesus, you know that that means that you don't have to be a member of this church to be part of what you have done for the world, because truly your sacrifice is for all people. And so we thank you that we're able to meet here and remember you. Bless us as we open your word in the next few moments. Please guide our minds into the thoughts that you intend for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. maybe just to get it into our minds starting out, I will make this statement. There's not enough time to get it all done. Would you like to repeat it with me? There's not enough time to get it all done. If you have any question, ask a mom who stays at home all day with multiple kids, and she will tell you there is not enough time to get it all done. Because guess what? When you change one diaper, you just know that there's going to be another one to change soon. And at the end of the week, the laundry piles up and all of those things. Ask anyone who is in a teaching position, and they will tell you that to keep up with classwork, grading, student issues, and parents, and all those things, there's not enough time to get it all done. I was thinking about my own choice, life vocation, ministry, and I thought to myself, there's absolutely not enough time to get it all done, because if I talk to all the people who were frustrated with church during the week, and I talk to all of the people who were struggling in life, and then I visited all the people who were struggling with health issues, and when I visited all of the people who were no longer coming to church, and then I talked about all the committee meetings and met with all the committees during the week, I'm just telling you there's not enough time to get it all done. And it was kind of funny to me this morning, because I'm thinking about this, and it was kind of as if God was proving his point to me, because as I'm trying to get out of the house, someone called my house with an issue that had to be discussed. So I was late to church today. And as I'm trying to get myself together and out the door, I realized that there's a button missing on my shirt. And I thought, there's not enough time to change my shirt, because, say it with me, there's not enough time to get it all done. If you've ever had a week where you really felt like that, Jesus knows how you feel. And if you'll turn with me to our scripture today, Luke chapter 22, and we're going to start in verse 7. So Luke chapter 22, verse 7. We're going to read several verses, about seven, actually. A little bit of context. This is at the end of one of the busiest weeks of Jesus' ministry. Jesus has been healing and teaching. He's on his last journey back into Jerusalem. He knows that the crucifixion is coming. On his way through Jericho, we have the stories of Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus, where in the middle of all of this, Jesus took time. healed these men. Zacchaeus, his way of life. Jesus healed his way of life to being in conformity with love and the kingdom of heaven. And with Bartimaeus, his sight. Jesus is on his way into Jerusalem, and he is keenly aware that the disciples are not prepared for the ordeal ahead of him. He knows that they are not in a place where they will understand the events that are going to transpire. He's had 3.5 years with them. He's attempted to break into their preconceived ideas of what will happen with the Messiah and setting up of the throne of David in a literal way versus Jesus coming to bring forgiveness and eternal life and those things. And he's seen breakthroughs in the mindset of the disciples. He's had them ask questions that were deeper than just the basic Pharisaical teaching of the day, but he knows that the disciples are unprepared for what's ahead of them in the next few days. And it must have occurred to Jesus that literally there was not enough time to get it all done and have them prepared for what was ahead of them. Interesting that this is where Luke picks up with the narrative. They've entered Jerusalem, verse 7, chapter 22 of Luke. Then came the first day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us so that we may eat it." Verse 9, they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" And he said to them, "When you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters, and you shall say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the room, the guest room, in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?'" Verse 12, "And he will show you a large furnished upper room. Prepare it." And they left and found everything just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. Just a bit of a side note. Would you picture for a minute what this must have been like for the disciples? I mean, Jesus says to them, he says, so go into town and you'll see a guy carrying a pitcher of water. Just follow him. And when he goes into his house, you just walk in too and say, "Where's the guest room? The teacher would like to eat the Passover there with his disciples." And he will say, "Okay." So if I were one of the disciples on that day, walking into town, I'd be like, "What's that guy got on his head? Is that a pitcher or is that a jug? I don't know, we better be sure, because if we're going to be following him into his house without saying anything, make sure, there's a pitcher, follow that guy. What if we see another guy with a pitcher? Keep your eyes open, because if there's a bigger pitcher, we should go with that." So through Jerusalem they go. This guy can't really look over his shoulder because he's, no, it's the women who carried the pitcher on the head, I think. So he's like, "These guys are following me down my street, down my alleyway, in my yard, in my house." And then they say, "The teacher asks where your guest room is so that he could have the Passover." And the guy says, "No problem." I mean, wouldn't have that been just a little bit of a experience that you would have told your friends about later? "Hey, the craziest things happened because when we were with Jesus, you could have never predicted the way this would have gone down." By the way, that is the way it is when you follow Jesus. Things will happen in your life that you can't explain. There will be turns in the road that you can't predict. There will be circumstances out of the ordinary in which Jesus leads. In other words, the way he leads our lives cannot be put on paper in a spreadsheet that the world would understand. But when Jesus is involved in your life, he can take you to the exact time and place he intends, and he can do it whichever way he wishes. This day, he decided to do it through a little faith journey, treasure hunt with the disciples. Follow the guy with the pitcher. Go into his house. Say, "The teacher." Don't even specify which one. You understand what I'm saying? You want that in your life? where God can guide your life through ways that can't be explained through the world's perspective, through ways that you can't even anticipate. Do you just want to know that God will lead you to the place where he can have a meal with you, and all you know is you're not quite sure how you got there, but you're there with him? Maybe that's what the faith journey in life is all about for us. One day Jesus longs to sit around a table with you and me for eternity. And we won't be able to really explain how we got there. I mean, it could be as bizarre as following a random guy with a pitcher into his house. But all we know is that we're there, and we're eating with Jesus, and it's okay. It's okay. This happened for these disciples on that day. They'd gone through a crazy week. Jesus realized that there was not enough time to get it all done. Interestingly enough, he doesn't hand them a manuscript with a 12-hour deadline. What he does is he sets up a time where he can be with the disciples. And I want you to notice verse 14, because this was the point of it all. Luke 22, verse 14. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. I don't know where you've come from this week, what deadlines or tasks are laying undone right now. I don't know whether it's at work or family or what it is that you've been racing around trying to finish this week. But Jesus, at that time and place, said, let's just be together. And so he set up this place where he reclined at the tables with the apostles. I believe this is what Jesus wants for us this morning, where we come to the communion service. We wash each other's feet because we know that when it all comes down to it, there's no position or place or power. We're just in this thing together as the children of God. We come back, we partake of the emblems that give to you and I the confidence that we can be okay with God. That no matter our past, no matter this week, we can recline at the table with Jesus because of his sacrifice. So, in the next few minutes, it may get a little, you know, we've got our kids with us, and we're splitting up into rooms and all of that. But would you just let this be a moment with Jesus? Would you just relax? Just be with Jesus this morning. There's not enough time to get it all done, so forget about it. Just recline with Jesus the next few moments. I'll pray and then we'll divide. Lord Jesus, as we move into this experience that you designed for us. And John, you said several times, this do. I've given you an example. So the foot washing thing is a big part of this service. And Jesus, you took the bread, you took the juice. You said, this represents what I've done for you. Remember what really matters in life. And so let these moments be just as you intend them to be. A time out with you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. See you back here in just a few moments. Were you blessed by that? You know, it's interesting to me what happens during the time of foot washing. I think it's an object lesson that was well chosen by the master teacher. I've talked to other pastors who have been a bit more creative than just the basin and the feet, and I've always kind of edged away from that because I thought, you know, Jesus did it and didn't say you have to make it fancier or different, just do it. And the foot washing has always been a blessing for me. I'll tell you my favorite foot washing story, and then we'll move into the emblems. This is for those of you who haven't heard it, and for those of you who have heard it 50 times so far. The picture in my mind of foot washing and what it means to the Christian church happened about 12, 13 years ago. I walked into the men's room at the Hillcrest Church in Bakersfield, and I looked over to my left, and I saw a little guy, Tyler Woldridge, who was about 8 years old at the time, and he was kneeling in front of his teacher, elementary school teacher, Jason Bruchard, who was about a black guy that was knocking on the door, still is, knocking on the door of 7 feet tall, played basketball and all of that. His foot was about this long, and it was crammed into the basin, and there was this little white, blonde-headed, blue-eyed kid washing his feet. And in my mind, I thought, that's it. That's what the Christian church is all about. It's not about age. It's not about race, culture, color, language, position. That's it. And so praise God for that in our lives. And praise God for what it did for the early disciples when Jesus washed their feet and let them know the kingdom of heaven is not business as usual the way this world does, but it's about being united and loving each other. Praise God for what it does in our hearts as his disciples today. Would you kneel with us as we pray?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending Jesus, emptying all heaven for us. What more could you do for your vineyard than you've already done and are doing in our lives daily? We thank you so much for pursuing us and not leaving us to our own devices, but being willing to give the greatest gift of all, Jesus himself. And how he was willing to come, it's beyond our understanding that he would die for his enemies, those who mistreat him. And we've all done that to you, and forgive us for those things. We thank you for the body of Jesus that died on that cruel tree in our place. And we'll be forever singing your praises, forever and ever, and learning more and more of that sacrifice throughout endless ages. We thank you so much.
Dear Father in heaven, we do thank you so much that you spilled your blood on that tree for everyone in the world. Whether we accept that or not is our choice. But why wouldn't we? Lord, you have been so good to us all the days of our lives. Please be with us as we go through this service. Help us to think more clearly and more deeply about what this service represents. And help us to be ready when you come in the cause of glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As we contemplate the emblems, a couple of things are really important in my life. One is that when we accept Jesus into our lives, it's an all or nothing thing. That we accept him into every part of our lives. And I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit can kind of bring you around to that reality from time to time, can't he? When we're kind of sliding maybe downhill in an area of our life, Holy Spirit brings us back and says, you know, what about this? Is this surrendered to Jesus? And so keep in mind that in a few minutes when we partake of that bread, the human body, I'm sure Dr. Bricks could share this better than I, but the human body assimilates into every cell of the body that morsel of bread that you partake of. There is not a part of your body that is untouched by the nourishment of that bread that you'll eat in just a few minutes. I believe that when Jesus instituted this for our lives, he wants us to remember that when we accept him into our lives, every part of our life benefits from the sacrifice of his life. And when you look at the life of Jesus, there's no question that he gave his whole life in our behalf. And when we accept him into our hearts and into our lives, it's an all or nothing deal. And so this morning, when we partake of the bread, it's a moment between you and God where you're able to say to him, maybe for the first time, maybe again, because you need to, Jesus, I accept you into my whole life. Please come into the areas that maybe have been sliding downhill. I want the way you live, Jesus, to be the way I live. The way you touch people, I want to touch people. The way you speak in love to people, I want to speak in love to people. The way you know what really matters in life, I want that to be the perspective I live with. That's the bread. The juice, the blood poured out for your forgiveness. I think it's really significant that in John, when Jesus says to the disciples, drink ye, he says, drink ye all of it. Because he wants you and I to know that his blood shed for our forgiveness can cleanse all sin. Because humanly we're tempted to kind of accept forgiveness into our lives in just ways that we think, you know, well, this can probably be forgiven, but this I'll do penance for the rest of my life. Jesus says, drink all of it. Let me forgive every area of your life. Another thing out of Luke 22, which I'll just kind of bring us back to. After it says in verse 14 that the disciples reclined at the table with Jesus, Jesus says in verse 15, he says, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. Let us be reminded that this service is not just remembering Calvary. It is the tangible promise that we have an eternity ahead of us with Jesus. So just as literally as when we say, take, eat in remembrance of me, and we eat of the bread, just as surely as when we drink of the cup, remembering the forgiveness of Jesus, Jesus, at this time, when the cup comes around the table, that heavenly table, however it's done, and whoever's serving table on that day, angel says, Jesus? Jesus says, no, pass. I'm going to wait for my kids. And the cup's passed around the table in heaven right now. I'll pass. I'm going to drink with my kids. I'm going to go get them soon. Remember, that's what this is about. So Jesus very simply took the bread. He that this is my body that was broken for you, so that you could live the way I live. Every time you eat it, eat in remembrance of me. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for giving your Son to die on Calvary for us. And Jesus, thank you for going all the way through with it. And Holy Spirit, thank you for the power that you bring into our lives so that we can live the way Jesus did. Thank you. Amen. So think for a moment what it's going to be like when we're all finally seated around that table at the Sea of Glass. And Jesus takes his cup, says, "I've waited a long time for this." And we know that the only reason we're there is because of his blood poured out for us. Nothing we earned, nothing we deserve. We're able to just say, "Jesus, it was because of you that we're here." Ah, it's going to be an incredible toast. You want to be there? So Jesus says, "Take, drink ye all of it in remembrance of me." Oh, dear Jesus, thank you. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Please keep us for your coming. And Jesus, we say today, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.